My name is Garland Robinson. Who would disagree that modern man desperately attempts to deal God out of this world? Yet the most worthy, dependable book in all the world, the Bible, still declares, as it does in Daniel 4:25, that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men. The God who created the heavens and the earth in the very beginning, He hasn't forfeited His right to rule. Jesus is described as the ruler of the kings of the earth. He stunned Pontius Pilate by telling them, "Thou wouldest have no power against me, except it were given thee from above," John 19 and verse 10. So here we are. We need to understand that the moral governor of the universe has set forth in the Scriptures principles that governs and rules our world. We read in Proverbs 14:34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Moses taught this lesson to the Hebrews at the birth of their nation. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, we read, "For what great nation is there that hath a God so nigh unto them as Jehovah our God is, whensoever we call upon Him? And what great nation is there that hath statutes and ordinances so righteous as all this law? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes saw, and lest they depart from thy heart, but make them known unto thy children." The basic lesson for us is that we would honor God, obey His will, and teach the same to our children as well. And that certainly fits us today, and it fits America today. God punishes nations that rebel against Him and disobey His will. When the Jews rebelled against God and were disobedient, and they cast out His law behind them and killed the prophets, the Bible says in Nehemiah 9 that God delivered them into the hand of the adversaries who distressed them. When they selfishly indulged themselves and neglected God, He sent drought and famine upon them as a punishment in Haggai chapter 1. We learn that nations can so fill the cup of iniquity that they forfeit their right to exist. God promised Abraham the land of Canaan. But at the time the promise was made, we read in Genesis 15:16 that the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet full. A loving, just God would not take away their homeland until they deserved such a punishment. And by the time of Moses' day, the cup of the Amorites, the nation of the Amorites, was full, and it was overflowing. And so God drove them out before the people of Israel and gave them the land. Oh, how America has become like those ancient Amorites of the days of Moses. The Bible also reveals to us that a righteous remnant will preserve a nation from destruction. Just and good and decent people would have saved the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah if they could have been found. Matthew 5:13, Jesus said that Christians are the salt of the earth. Verse 15 and 16, we're the light of the world. But friend, are you doing an effective job of influencing society for good? Are there enough good people left to preserve our nation from the judgment of God? National repentance can avert national disaster. God tells us in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7 and 8, "At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation to pluck it up and to break it down and destroy it? If that nation turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." We see that principle at work when the men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah in Jonah 3 and verse 10. And God spared that city and that generation. The Creator has placed the stamp of sacredness upon all human life. Mankind did not evolve. Mankind was created. And because man is made in the image of God, no one is allowed to lay violent hands upon innocent human life. Yet, that's exactly what's taken place in abortion today. The government has been ordained by God to protect the weak and the helpless, according to Romans 13. God refused to hear the prayers of the rulers of Jerusalem until they learned to seek justice, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. Today we witness a government that's forfeited its role to protect the weak and helpless. Rather, it approves and even finances a war against innocent babies while they're still in their mother's womb. The Founding Fathers in the Declaration of Independence held these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these rights are life. They further held that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, and that's in accordance with the Bible. Isaiah warned in Isaiah 10, verse 1 and 2, "Woe to them that decree unrighteous decrees." A society is judged by the care and protection it gives its weakest members. In a civilized state, the strong protect the weak. Evil laws which allow abortion on demand are against God's way. To properly understand the moral predicament of our day, we need to recognize two opposing kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of darkness, ruled by Satan, and the kingdom of Jesus, God's dear Son. Christians are locked now in a mortal conflict with the devil and his legions. This is a moral, spiritual battle to be fought and won with spiritual weapons, that is, Scripture and truth. Evil men, the Bible says, will grow worse and worse. They refuse to have God in their knowledge, and they would exclude Him from our world altogether if it were possible. And at this very hour, our national situation is perilous. Crime and violence threatens us all. Corruption riddles the fabric of society from Washington to every city in the nation. Greediness and selfishness surround us like a thick fog. Immorality is brazenly extending its territory. We find porno shops, massage parlors, nude bars everywhere. The same filth is forced upon our lives through immoral magazines and books and movies. Filthy TV shows, records, bring it into our very homes and our children's playrooms. Even more serious is the deterioration of marriage and the home. Adultery, desertion, divorce are now commonplace. Unmarried couples defy God's law of marriage and live in open fornication. Parents refuse to accept their parental responsibilities, which creates massive juvenile delinquency problems. Our generation seems obsessed and addicted to pleasure. This they pursue like a wildfire. Fun at any cost is the idea of so many. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those are the life goals of the masses, even though it means rejection of God and all things that are holy and true. We see a loss of respect for human life. First it was abortion. Now that men have been able to kill with impunity, multiplied millions of little babies have been sacrificed on the altar of men's own greed and selfishness. Voices are now crying for the legalization of euthanasia. Murder by consent, mercy killing is what they call it. Crimes of mass murder are now frequent. Violence in television and movies seem to stimulate the thirst for even more. We seem to be very much like ancient Rome, who paid to see men kill each other in the public sports arenas. The most repulsive, or perhaps the most likely to bring sudden wrath upon us, is the tide of homosexuality. Hundreds and thousands of perverts are marching the streets. Sodomy is portrayed on television and movies as a good thing, an optional lifestyle. But all across the land, homosexual churches are springing up and calling for people to come and be members of them. Time fails us to mention the problem of drugs, the number one being tobacco, number two, alcohol, and all the other drugs, the hardcore drugs, all put together, do not measure up the 500,000 people that die in this land alone every year as a result of tobacco in alcohol. In the face of all that assault against us, of all that is sacred, we see a society that's unable to deal with that kind of problem. The nation seems to be helpless, and they are being ravaged to death. There's a general decline of interest in the Lord's way. When a spark of interest is found, it's more often in the occult, some weird or foreign mystical religion. Is it not a paradox that a civilization that has produced some of the best invention the world has ever known has also produced the worst types of people in great abundance? Like in Dickens' Tale of Two Cities, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. In Rome, before it fell, her standards were abandoned, the family disintegrated, divorce prevailed, immorality was rampant, faith was at an all-time low. There was a lot of talk about religion, but few practiced it. In a society, decay, 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 decline, decline. So what can we do? What can be done? We turn to God in humble obedience. We cannot control other people around us. We can't control the nation. We can pray for it. We can try to vote for moral leaders to govern us. But the ultimate result is we can only take care of ourselves. It starts with me. It starts with you as an individual. Though we live in this world, we must not become a part of the world. We must not be a part of its vices and evil and iniquity. You can obey the gospel. It starts with you. You can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. You can repent of your sins. You can confess faith in Christ. You can be immersed into water for the forgiveness of your sins. You can live a faithful Christian life every single day. You can be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You can be a shining influence in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. The Bible says we shine as lights in the world. If you're not a Christian, why not become one today? You can be spared and saved from the awful fate of hell if you'll turn to God in humble obedience. If you are a Christian, commit your life to living righteously, being that shining influence, promoting truth and equity, goodness in every place. Then we can be the kind of influence in the world that God would have us to be.